Welcome back to another episode of the Style Frame Saturdays podcast, the podcast dedicated to ideation, visual storytelling, and concept development as it pertains to an animated production. We'll be breaking down the brief of our guests' favorite style frames and also get a glimpse into the inspiration and workflow behind their frame of choice as well. We've got another exciting episode for you today with Dylan Caro, an art director at Dash Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. So let's dive in. Hey, Dylan, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It's great to have one of the Dashnauts here. How's everything going?
Hi, Caroline. Yeah, it's been pretty great recently. How are you?
Doing good. Can't complain. It's we're getting into the spring season now. You know, it looks like, based on some stuff that actually Marin was sharing on social media, that stuff's already blooming down in the Raleigh area.
Yeah, we have our fall spring. We have at least one every year.
Yep. We're getting a little bit of bloomage up here. Not as much as you guys down there, but we're actually getting some snow tonight. So, you know, go figure.
Yeah, of course.
Well, if it's okay with you, I'd love to sort of jump right into things. For anyone who doesn't know you, would you mind telling our audience a little bit about yourself, perhaps a little bit about your story and how you got into the field of motion design?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Dylan Caro. I'm an art director at Dash in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm originally from a small town in Illinois across the river from St. Louis. And growing up, you know, I was just drawing a lot. That's really what I like to do outside of, you know, various sports and stuff like that. And so in high school, I should say I also have a twin brother, identical twin brother, Drew. And he was also into that also. And so in high school, both of us were drawing a lot and basically realized, hey, we're probably only going to be good at stuff that has to do with drawing or art. So let's go to college. And so we went to college together, art school in Cleveland, Ohio, the Cleveland Institute of Art. And yeah, that was pretty cool. The two of us there, we went for illustration originally, but we ended up getting into their, at the time, it was like a multidisciplinary digital art field, not really an animation major, but you could sort of emphasize, you could sort of narrow it down to animation, which is what we did. And then from there, just trying to find jobs after college. We worked together a few times for like the first 3 years out of college, and then finally had to break up the band after we moved out here to Raleigh, which was great. 8 years ago, we moved out here, and Mac and Corey from Dash were actually the first two people that we met, really, which is great. They were sort of the welcome wagon down here. And yeah, so I've known them for 8 years, but I've worked with them for about 5 years, which is great.
Oh, very cool. How did you guys, well, you and Drew both linked up with Mac and Corey, or just you linked up with Mac and Corey?
Yeah, so we moved down to Raleigh from St. Louis for another job. It was a larger studio, marketing agency in Raleigh. And Mac and Corey and Marin as well, all three worked there too when we moved down here. So both of us got jobs at this place, and Mac, Corey, and Marin were already there.
Oh, okay. Really cool. I see. That's where all the connections happen. Okay, very cool. Yeah, it sounds like everybody met at that one place, you know, freelancers that I've spoken to. You guys have all kind of worked together in the past. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, this one place called Centerline Digital, which they do still exist, but they were just pulling in a lot of talent eight or so years ago to Raleigh, which is great.
Very cool. And so when you started out at Dash, when you followed the guys over there, did you start out as a motion designer or a designer or an illustrator, animator? How did that all work out?
I actually didn't follow them for a couple of years. I went to another job just trying to find things that worked. And then finally it worked out that I was able to go work with Mac and Corey at Dash. And so I started out as just a normal animator. And so I did that for about 3.5-4 years. And then I've been working as a director for the past year, which has been really fun.
Very cool.
New sort of challenge. Yeah.
I'll bet. Yeah. No, I'm sure it kind of works your mind in a similar yet different way. Oh, that's really cool to hear. Very cool. Well, speaking of your art directing and everything, I know that you art directed the piece that we're going to talk about today. So I'd love to chat about the frame that you're going to share. Could you tell us a little bit about the piece that you've selected?
Yeah. So the whole animation, it was for the World Cup this past year. It wasn't a paid piece by any means. We don't have FIFA as a client, which would be really great. But it was just generally just to have something fun and really something that we could, you know, sort of flex our muscles making something really cool. And so really I had the idea of just trying to there was a little bit of a response to the World Cup being in Qatar and trying to show a more diverse and open world that, you know, soccer exists in, not just in that one country with their issues. That was part of it. The general idea was just to show that soccer is played all over the world in all these crazy places and by anyone, no matter the age or race or gender. So the idea was to really use real world places that soccer pitches actually exist. So most of the scenes that you see in the full piece they do exist in real life. Like there's a floating pitch in Thailand. There's one 2,000 feet up in the Swiss Alps. You know, there's one that's just a tiny little island in Norway, and that's all it is a soccer field, surrounded by, you know, fishing boats and stuff. Oh, it's nuts. So it's just trying to show just really beautiful places where this happens.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I love the concept behind this piece. I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of the places, I think maybe I was able to call out one or two of the places that you just mentioned in the final piece. But I didn't realize that the entire piece is really dedicated to actual places that exist where people are playing soccer. Mm-hmm. So that's a really cool tidbit to hear as well. Well, before we jump into some of the sort of strategic and technical details of this frame, could you give our audience an idea of what sort of the internal creative brief was like for this piece?
Yeah. So really the idea that I pitched to everyone that was going to be working on it, which was about a team of six people internally at Dash, was one. Well, one, I made a few frames for them to look at for the pitch. And then to just say, you know, you can start from here and go in any direction that you want to go in, because none of these scenes are technically, you know, tied together at all. We're going to try to stitch them together in transitions and match cuts and things like that. But generally, you know, like go all out, you know, and do anything that you can to try to make it look really cool, and also try to fit the real world environment that we're in, the culture of the scene that we're in. So there's ones in Brazil, New Zealand, and other places that, you know, really fit the culture. LA, the LA one really fits, I think. There's a bunch. We're really trying to fit the culture and the just the general vibe of the actual location that we're depicting. But then just from there, I had a rough script to go on, because like I said, we didn't really have anything that was like concrete. These needed to be stuck together, you know, at all. So really just trying to get as many scenes as possible, and then we're going to stitch them together from there. And so the script really evolved over time. Especially like the frame that I selected for this show is a close up of the, you know, the soccer ball with a foot on top resting it. And so we have sort of a montage from there of all these little, the same shot, but in all these different locations throughout the world. And so that really didn't exist in the first script, and it really didn't exist in the first animatic, or the first two animatics, I should say.
Oh, wow.
Really, I just had the idea for one transition, and that was from someone getting the ball and then kicking it towards the camera. And so the ball sort of wiping the screen. And so the ball comes at the camera, and then we cut and the ball moves away from camera. And so that's the transition. And so that's how we end up in the stadium at the end of this piece, on the close up with the ball and then in the montage from there.
Very cool. So correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like this was sort of a project idea that you pitched to the rest of the team, or was this sort of like a project where everyone was sort of saying like, hey, World Cup's coming out in a few months, you know, let's all put like our heads together and create a piece around it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're the one who pitched the idea for this project?
Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, we're always looking for something like this to do as a studio, because sure. I mean, we do a lot of work together. We, that we, you know, a lot of really cool work, but we also do work that we don't share. that's more just corporate or boring. And so just trying to stay fresh. And so really, I was just looking for something cool. I've been wanting to do something like this forever, to do with soccer, just because, you know, I really like soccer. But, you know, I think everyone at the studio said they, you know, played soccer when they were like five or something. And then Will O'Connell and then Ashley Targonsky both played, I think, quite a bit growing up. And Will still plays too, like me. So really just, there wasn't a ton of interest in the World Cup other than, you know, maybe with those two people. So yeah, it was more my, you know, presenting it to the group and seeing who would be interested, which, you know, everyone was interested in doing it to their credit.
Sure.
Which is great. It was just, you know, scheduling really from there, determined who was working on the project.
For sure. No, that makes sense. Well, this might be a redundant question then, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, it sounds like the inspiration behind this piece was the fact that, like, everybody for the most part touched a soccer ball at some time in their lives. And obviously the World Cup, you know, being right around the corner, but, you know, was there any other inspiration behind this piece for the team and yourself?
See, that's a tough one. Sorry. There was, you know, there's visual inspiration and stuff like that, but sure. You know, we're really trying to branch out and showcase really, you know, multiple styles throughout this. Other than that, really just trying to show more of a, I don't know, it's more of a, like a love letter to soccer, as opposed to like an ad campaign for FIFA or something like that, which, you know, is even on its own is sort of sports washing FIFA, but yeah, just ignoring Qatar and all that and just trying to celebrate the actual good parts of soccer.
Oh, no, that's great. Yeah. Well, and like you said, too, it sounds like it was like, you know, like we want to flex our muscles on this. We really want to like pour our passion into this piece. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I know we talked a little bit about this offline, but could you tell our audience, you know, what the timeline was like for this project?
Yeah. So because of the weird schedule with the World Cup and it being in Qatar, it was, you know, normally it would be in the summer, which is the off season for soccer. This one was in November. It was at the end of November around Thanksgiving when it started because it's so hot in the desert in Qatar, which makes sense. But so we had to start in June or something, really sort of planning this. So that's where I was really starting to write the script, come up with, you know, certain style references. I was finding, you know, even just like videos of people playing soccer that could be animation references for people who weren't as versed in it as I was or Will or anybody else, you know, really just trying to start then around probably June, I think is when I started. And then probably once everyone was back really from like their summer vacation type stuff, you know, at the end of summer, like around August or something is when we started bringing in more people, into it. And I was, you know, really presenting the frames that I made to the group and the script that I had.
Cool. Oh, very nice. Well, you may have answered this question as well, but I'll ask it again as well. It sounds like obviously that the biggest constraint for the project was that the World Cup was taking place in the fall. And so you guys were sort of backtracking from that in the summer to get it done. But other than sort of like the deadline of the event happening itself, were there any other constraints that impacted the outcome of the project?
Not really, just more, you know, that is sort of our busy time, you know, the end of summer to fall. And so really like, I mean, I think the original script that I had, I think was twice as long as the final version. But like, so I had the script and I cut it in half and that was going to be our script going in. And it ended up being still as long as the original script is what I estimated the original script to be.
Oh my gosh.
So we cut it in half and it was still longer than it should have been. But that was more just because we just kept working and we added in that montage of these close-up scenes into it. And so that extended the time and actually gave it a little more life at the end too.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's cool to hear that like it was evolving over time too, even in the sort of scripting phase of it. And as you were, well, in the scripting phase, but then as you were sort of piecing the animatic together and everything. It's awesome to hear how it's kind of coming together in real time.
Yeah.
Well, so now that we have this solid understanding of, you know, what the project is about. I'm sure our audience would love to know what your specific creative process looked like while you were working on this project. I know you've touched on it a little bit. I know that you were saying that you were very, very involved early on, from pitching the idea of the project to scripting and then putting some frames together, animatic, so on and so forth. But would you mind sort of kind of diving into your process a bit more in terms of pre-production and production?
Sure. Yeah. So originally, so I wrote the script and then really needed to come up with three style frames, basically, to actually two, we'll call it two style frames to pitch the group. And so I started out with, there's one frame, it's set in Nigeria. It's a one female, with, there's a goat behind her too, and the little goal. So I that was the first frame I designed to pitch to the group to really show what I was trying to go for with these locations, showing these, hopefully, you know, they're stylized because they're illustrated for animation, but, you know, realistic looking, locations, you know, with, you know, things that make them look realistic, like atmospheric perspective and things like that. Like this frame really has a ton of atmospheric perspective in it, with the sand dunes disappearing in the back. So that's the first one I went with. And then like I mentioned before, this was the transition that I really had planned out already, with the ball coming at camera and then away from camera in a different scene. So from there, I did the next one, which would be the ball with the, we're in the stadium, we're inside a stadium in Qatar at the World Cup, and the ball is on the center circle and kickoff is about to happen. So there's a person, you know, with their foot resting on top of the ball. And so from there, the idea was to show, because really I had the idea for this montage from there, was to show how we're going to do this montage of, it's all the same shot, but just in different locations and different styles. So I wanted to set up this file and, you know, the look, for our illustrators to go off from that. So, you can see the stadium shot, and then the next one that I made, which was, I'm saying it's set in London, but it's a close up. It's really hard to tell, but it's, in Europe, they have things called soccer cages, which is a small, it's like the size of a tennis court, but it's fenced in completely, like a cage. So it's small side soccer, and that's really what you play in like, cities and stuff. So the idea is it's on a concrete, you know, patch, and it's been raining because it's London. So you're seeing reflections and stuff of the fence and the lights of the city and the reflections that's on the concrete. And so really trying to contrast that shot with the stadium one, because they should be really different, even though I made them and they're really using the same assets if you look at them closely. But so really setting that up and showing the illustrators who would take this on further that you can have these things that are basically using the same shaped objects, just change details on them and things like that, change the style. And then we have this cool montage. And then from there, I think Meg really liked this section. She just kept sending me more close-ups of these shots in different locations. You know, every day I would get a new one, and I would add it in. And so that's why this section ended up being so long, but I think it turned out really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love this. The whole piece is awesome, but this particular section that you're sort of describing right now is, you know, I feel like is like the hero moment of this whole thing. And so, yeah, you know, it's really cool to kind of see how you guys are cycling through the different styles and the different cities and the different locations. So it's cool to hear that, you know, this was kind of the process you all took to kind of approach it. I know that you had said, you know, as you were sort of talking about this, that you kind of like were jumping in, it sounds like, at least, maybe I'm wrong, it sounds like you were jumping into frames kind of right away, from the script. Was there any sort of like period where you were sort of doing a little bit of storyboarding, or even prior to that, even some mood boarding, or was it just sort of like, hey, let's just design this out and figure it out as we go?
Yeah. So during the time, when I was writing the script, I was finding, references for shots, for things that needed to happen. Originally there was a few more actual like soccer moves going on, which really, you know, in the final ended up happening with like little peg people or like little foosball people, which I think is a lot more fun anyway. But yeah, so at the really early stages, I was finding, you know, visual references and stuff, and really just making a mood board or just filling in buckets of little directions for people to go in, is really how I try to do that.
Not very cool.
And then from there, I usually try to make something myself, just because that's sort of still how I work. Is how I think. I'm just going to make something really quick, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, it does. Sometimes I'll sketch, which is kind of rare for me now. I usually just try to make something really fast in Illustrator or After Effects to sort of demonstrate what I'm talking about.
Oh, very cool. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, well, when I first saw this piece posted by Dash, I had to rewatch it a few times because it was like this really captivating narrative, but it didn't contain any dialogue, right? There's just sort of the sound design and music underneath it. So, the visuals, the animation, the sound design, and the camera work, which I'll address a little further in a second, like kind of all spoke for itself. And what I love about this piece is that it really makes you feel the impact of sort of like the global phenomenon that is soccer, right? In my personal opinion, I feel like the camera work is like one of the key elements that really sort of captures this feeling. So I was curious, how did you land on sort of the specific sequence of camera shots and movement for the piece? I know you've been sort of touching on how you approach the montage and everything, but you've got these beautiful wide shots and these close-ups with the feet on the ball and stuff. So, yeah, just curious how you kind of came to this sequence of camera shots to use for the entire piece.
Yeah, so the bulk of it is really, a camera either, just drifting forward slightly, and then we're sort of match moving between these different styled shots, right? And so that was pretty easy. I did most of that comp work, just transitioning from scene to scene. But the tricky part, I think, was really showing the like in that the transition that I mentioned before, where we're going from an exterior really wide shot with a ton of atmospheric perspective going off in the distance to a shot that's a close up on a soccer ball. And so I was really trying to play with like warping, camera warping. So all of this is done in Illustrator. It's just flat design. But then, when that transition happens, I also letterbox too, to really make it extra wide when we're in those close up shots.
Oh, cool.
And so I just added lens warp to it when we're zooming into that close up, just to try to make that look sort of almost like a hero zoom a little bit
Sure.
as we're going into it. And so that was really the whole idea, is trying to get mimic a hero zoom or a little like crazy warping when you're really zooming in on something.
Oh,
But yeah.
nice. That's awesome. Yeah, well, it sounds like there's a lot of sort of like technical inspirations behind some of the camera work that was being done in this piece too, and then on these sort of specific shots and some of the style frames. But I know you had mentioned earlier at the top of the show that, the piece is obviously celebrating like actual places in the world where soccer is being played. So I'm just curious too, were any of the sort of inspirational sort of like imagery that you came across, did any of that sort of influence some of these sort of camera movements or camera sort of framing
Yeah.
sequences or shots or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. There's one section where we go from there's a scene that Will O'Connell animate. He designed and animated it also. It's set in Mexico, and then we go to the Swiss Alps, and we're moving from left to right, and we have the little, there's a building at the front that sort of wipes the screen. And so that's an example of that, where we're trying to really incorporate. There are two scenes that don't match at all in style, really. They're juxtaposed together on purpose, but we're kind of blending them in with, the comping with the camera move, and trying to really play with the parallax there, where, this building is not technically in this scene, but it's being used to bring in this new scene.
Sure. Well, and you may have touched upon this a little bit too, but kind of going off of that as well. When you decided that you were going to bring in sort of the montage sequence into the piece, how did you land on like, okay, we were going to use sort of like a close-up shot to sort of cycle through this montage? It seems kind of obvious, but again, just sort of curious how your sort of creative thinking was sort of processing throughout this portion of the piece as well.
Yeah. So really the idea there was for like contrast between, we have this big move that happens from the ball coming at the camera and then moving away from camera. And then also one part I didn't mention of that is there's like a 360 turn when that happens in the stadium. And so really trying to contrast that big move with some stillness, right? So we have that big, fast, it's not that fast, but it's a pretty big move compared to the rest of the piece.
Sure.
And so really just trying to hang in that moment and build a little tension before what is supposed to be like a kickoff for a World Cup match, right? Mm-hmm. So we're resting, we're stopping right here with the ball in the center, in the middle of the stadium, ready to go, but we're seeing the same moment on the beach in Brazil, in Norway, and, you know, in Central Park in New York, and, you know, everywhere. And then boom, back to the World Cup and we're starting.
That's awesome. Well, and what I love about this part of the piece too, this montage sequence, is the fact that you can see the theme that you sort of touched upon in the beginning of the show as well, that, you know, soccer, you know, this overarching thing of soccer is for everyone. It can play, it's played everywhere and anywhere. And so, you know, it may have been intentional or not, but, you know, it looks like, you know, the several styles that you've created to cycle through in this moment kind of like is a homage to that theme, right? So I'm just curious, you know, was that intentionally done in that way, or were you guys just sort of like, here's our hero moment, we just want to go all out and go crazy with flexing our design muscles?
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, part of the intention, you know, really to show, I mean, the diverse places that it's being played and the people in there, but then part of that is just the style of the illustration too, fits into that. And so really just showing a variety and having as many different styles in the piece sort of fits into that point of showing the diversity of the game. So that's really, you know, the whole idea of doing that.
Very cool.
I'm saying that word a lot.
It's okay. Say it all you want.
Yeah.
Well, the frames that you designed too, you know, specifically in this sort of montage sequence here, you know, were there sort of any, you know, sort of like, I don't want to say pop culture because I feel like that's kind of like an overused phrase, but were there any sort of like prominent sort of inspirations for the style that you chose to do them in? Just curious.
I don't want to speak for Meg and Meg Snyder and Megan DeMarco, who work at the Action, full-time illustrators, but there are a couple of scenes, you know, Meg did one that's based in LA, so I think it's like a Venice Beach boardwalk type of vibe where there's a, I think it's mostly pickup game, but they have a Venice FC team as sort of a pickup group down there. But they also have, it's a minor league team. I think it's women's, it's Angels FC. But they're very, you know, LGBTQ active in that community. And so Meg was really into getting them, at least their logo or something prominently in the frame, because they're just a great organization. And it fit, you know, the culture and the area, you know. And then in the same vein, she also did one for New Zealand, and they have a Maori football group. It's a charitable group that really just organizes soccer for people of Maori descent, because it is a relatively expensive game even outside the U.S. to mm-hmm. play. So just trying to get, you know, more people playing for less money would be the idea there. But she, for both of those instances, Meg was really trying to lean into at least a little bit of their design language for those locations.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, as you continue to talk about the piece, it really just sounds like you guys were really trying to make sure that you were capturing the essence of the culture in each of these cities, you know, that was participating, or the neighborhoods, you know, where the specific shots were being played and everything. So that's really cool. Well, this might have the same answer, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, what was influencing sort of the color? What drove the color in your frame specifically? And then, you know, I guess maybe for the piece overall too.
Yeah, really, you know, starting out for my frames, it was the first frames to be designed for it. So really just starting out with a good foundation for everyone to get going with, excuse me, really just trying to give them a foundation to get going with. And having a good palette there. But then from there, just really, I mean, it I'm beating the drum again, but trying to fit the locations that we're in. So the scene that I, you know, started designing first was a desert scene. You know, at first it wasn't necessarily set in Nigeria. I moved that around a little bit. But, you know, eventually it did land on that. And so from there, we did try to fit in some of their, like, each country's soccer teams. You know, we didn't put their logos or anything in that because those are, like, private companies, even though it is a national team. Mm-hmm. They're private companies, and so we didn't want to deal with that. But trying to fit in their colors or something that would be representative of their team a little bit. So Nigeria always has, they always have the coolest soccer jerseys, like, in the world. Like, it's amazing. They're very cool, like, African patterns are incredible. And so trying to fit something like that into it, and it's green, it's usually bright green and white is their colors. So trying to, I don't have any bright green in there, but I tried to, you know, it was a muted green. Trying to fit that in. And then from there, like, you know, the London close-up shot, I tried to just fit in neon colors into sort of the dark, because it, you know, it'd be in the nighttime with rain coming down. So trying to get it really kind of glowy, you know, like you're in the city at night, you know, either working out or just playing around.
Sure. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think I even picked up on the fact that you were sort of incorporating the team's colors into this, but you can totally see it now when you're looking at these frames and looking at the piece too. So that's really awesome to hear. Well, I know we've been sort of talking a lot about sort of like the abstract behind some of this stuff, right? The inspiration, you know, how you were intentionally sort of designing and approaching some of these things. But I would love to sort of talk about some of the technical stuff with you a little bit as well. You know, was there anything technically challenging about pulling your set of frames together that you can think of?
Yeah. Yeah. They were, I think all of those close-ups were pretty challenging to comp together, because there's a subtle drift happening to them, but also they just needed to be super wide, like really wide, one because of the letterboxing, and then two because of the warping that's applied to the backgrounds. And so, you know, I think with the letterboxing would be 8:10 up, and so 19:20 wide. But, you know, with the warping, it's going to end up being, I think, 19:20 times 3 or 4.
Sure.
So it was really wide by 8:10 tall. Wow. So that was a little tough for, you know, the illustrators to get their heads around. It's like, why does it need to be this wide, Doug? But then, you know, it worked out. It was a little tricky once to get into comping and all that. But then from there, Will, the final shot is 3D, where we're sort of zooming out. Part of it is 2D, where we're moving up in the stadium. And the second half of that, it switches to 3D when we're outside of the stadium.
Oh, cool.
And so that's a real stadium in Doha, Qatar. And, you know, the city wasn't really exactly like Doha, but that's fine. And so I think Will had a little trouble getting out of the stadium, but it turned out really cool. It's just timing that rotation right. And then we also needed to move back from it. So it was a little tricky, and also need to go through like a couple of skyscrapers too, to give it a little depth. But those were the two probably hardest sticking points, and which they aren't the biggest problem, but they were right at the end of the video.
Sure.
And we're, you know, really under the gun at the end of the last week. I think we posted it probably, I think, when the group stage of the World Cup started. So we were like a couple weeks late anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I know for myself when I'm on a piece, you know, like sometimes, you know, and then when you're working with separate sort of files that you kind of have to like composite together, right? You know, like the camera stuff is always sort of the thing that always, if I'm going to get tripped up on something, it's going to be the camera work, because you want it to look cinematic. But then at the same time, like there's just so much technical know-how involved with it. And you're just like, I know I want it to look this way. And, you know, sometimes you kind of hit a little roadblock with it. But you guys, I mean, I was curious what your answer was going to be to this, because I can only imagine what the sort of like, you know, yeah, you know, what the dimensions were going to be when you're sort of like doing that sort of like zoom and then the draw up and everything. So it's really cool to hear how you guys were approaching that. Well, I stumbled over my question before and kind of rolled it into the one that I wanted to ask you now, but you know, we've been talking a lot about the final results of this project quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But was there a different direction you took with your set of frames or that the team took with the piece overall initially and then, you know, changed over to this look? Or was this the direction that you stuck with throughout the project's entirety? Kind of sounds like in terms of scripting, you were kind of switching between maybe some different directions initially. But once you got to the design stuff, just curious if like you started one way and ended up another, or if this was sort of what you intended on in the end.
I think it turned out pretty much exactly like we were hoping for. Cool. I think really the only thing that, like I mentioned before, the script was twice as long. There was a scene in Italy with like a Roman aqueduct going along. Someone shanked the ball and it hit the aqueduct and knocked a brick off and stuff like that. There was a lot going on. There was like bicycle kicks and all kinds of stuff happening. But it would have been generally, you know, the same vibe. It would have been, you know, the same mix of styles and match moves and things like that. It just would have been way longer. But yeah, it probably, at least the original script, my estimation was just way off. It probably would have been about 4 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
It was just ridiculous.
And it clocks in, what is it clocking at right now?
I think a minute and a half.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good duration though. Like that sweet spot right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about, you know, so much about the project in terms of sort of the inspiration and the motivation, the technical stuff behind it, some of the design decisions. When you think back on this piece and working on this project, you know, what would you say was the biggest challenge about working on it?
Yeah, the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge for me is I designed the stadium in After Effects in 3D, like 3D. I just built it in After Effects fully 3D, because it was just a simple 360 turn that we were doing. That was a little challenging, just building that. It was just a cube really, but that was kind of weird. I'd never really done that before, but kind of turned out cool. But the biggest challenge really probably just explaining some of the actual, you know, soccer things that were happening in some of the shots to people, exactly, you know, getting that across to people who didn't exactly have the language that, you know, I was speaking. But yeah, generally it was a pretty fun and smooth project to work on, for the most part.
No, that's great. No, yeah, no, I, you know, you don't even think of that, you know, that, you're so familiar with the sport that maybe others aren't as familiar and they might not, you know, understand exactly what you're trying to convey. So that's really interesting to hear. Well, in addition to the biggest challenge, I'm also curious to know what the biggest reward about working on this piece was for you and for the team.
Yeah. The biggest reward was really just seeing everybody's frames every day that they would send me for review. I'd be like, yeah, I don't have any notes. It's going in. We're putting it in. It's in. You know, that was basically my feedback every time. Like, this is great. We're, you know, it's really makes a director's job easy when you don't have to give any feedback because it's all great. But yeah, that was the biggest reward. And then just working together as a team, you know, as a group to really just make something that was fun and sort of just like, it wasn't for anything really, just for us. So yeah, that was really fun.
That's awesome. Well, I've got to ask, cause I always ask this at the end of every episode, but you know, knowing everything about this project now, you know, what it was for, the purpose behind it, you know, everything that was involved technically and so on and so forth, you know, what about this frame when you think about it now makes it your favorite frame?
Oh,
the big question.
Yeah. What about it makes it my favorite frame? It reminds me of soccer. It makes me feel like soccer, you know, is happening. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. That's not a sentence really. It's just, I see that frame like, yeah, that's soccer, you know, for me. I don't know why, but, just in terms of design, I think it's a really clean design. It's sort of I think it's a good representation of how I work and how I design, trying to really stay clean and then trying to use After Effects, you know, tricks and little shortcuts to make it look better or cooler, or, you know, like it took a lot more work than it really did to make, you know, just trying to add stuff in After Effects.
I love what you just said, though, you know, how you just wrapped it up right there, though. Like, yes, you know, you can touch upon like why technically it's like your favorite frame. But the fact that you were saying, you know, it speaks soccer to me. Like, I could see that, you know, you look at the frame and you're sort of just like, it's a still frame, obviously. And the action technically happening is pretty still, right? It's a foot on the ball. But You can feel that tension that you were pointing out earlier too. So I can totally see that too. I can totally see why, you know, it speaks soccer to you, which is really awesome. Well,
yeah, like that point with the foot on the ball, anything could really happen from there.
And exactly.
That's sort of the
anticipation behind it. Caroline. I love that. Yeah. No, that was all you, Dylan. Well, this has been so awesome talking to you about this frame and this project, Dylan. You know, I can't thank you enough for sharing it with us and our audience and walking us through your creative approach and thinking. If people want to connect with you to learn more about what you're working on, what's the best way for them to do so?
I'm on Instagram, Dylan_Caro, CARROW. And I work at Dash. I'm at Dash, you know. If you know Mac, he'll contact me, you know, they'll get in touch with me. He's pretty outgoing. So, yeah.
And you guys are hosting an awesome conference later this summer where if anyone's going to that, they can go hit you up. Right. Right.
Yeah. Come out to the Dash Bash. Come see us in Raleigh.
Exactly.
That's a good plug, Caroline. Get me in trouble for missing it.
I had to point it out.
Yeah.
This is great. We're going to share your information. We'll share the links to some of the resources you mentioned here for our audience to check out. We'll also share some of the Dash Bash information. So if people are interested in attending, they can go check that out as well. But that wraps it up for today, everyone. Feel free to email us at styleframesetpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, if you like what you see and hear here, don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and review the show on your favorite podcasting platforms as well. And lastly, come connect with us on social. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you again, Dylan, for joining us today. And we'll see you all in the next one.